Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Alrighty, well, welcome to Rebels Remembered. I am Caitlin.
I am Kelsey.
Let's dive into the season one finale of Star Wars Rebels. Fire Across the Galaxy is episode 15 of Star Wars Rebels. It aired originally on March 2nd, 2015. It is directed by Dave Filoni, cowboy hat dude known to the Star Wars world, and also written by Simon Kinberg. Again, very big dude in the nerd world.
Yeah.
We can just dive right into this. So basically, this episode picks up where we left off with Rebels Resolve. Is it Rebel Resolve?
Yeah, Rebel Resolve. They were trying to figure out where Kanan went, or where he was taken. They found the information, and we were last left with Mustafar, with where he was headed.
Right, and then we went down the rabbit hole of what happens when you go to Mustafar.
Yeah, we're not going to go down the rabbit hole. Yeah, so this episode starts immediately. One thing I love about Rebels is it starts immediately into the action. We start at a little base because they're trying to steal a transport, I believe.
Okay, thank you for saying that, because when this episode started, like, why are they blowing up TIEs and why are they here? So thank you for
telling me that. Yeah, they steal a transport, and Sabine obviously is the distraction beginning this episode. She is the one that is...
She's running from TIE to TIE, basically, to, like, distract the stormtroopers while Zeb and Ezra are stealing the freighter, I believe.
There's also a callback in this episode. I don't know if you remember the shorts.
I was going to say that, yeah.
I can't remember the name of this short she was
the
in.
The artist?
I guess it's just the artist. I think it's the same base, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
That's why they say the artist is back, because I've seen her before.
Okay, yeah.
So, it kind of called back to that, if you're a nerd like I am, they found out there were shorts that was released before the show.
And how many shorts are there?
There's one with Kanan, Hera, and Chopper. One with Ezra, one with Sabine, one with Zeb. I believe there's four of them.
Okay, so if you haven't seen the shorts that kind of do a little bit more establishing the characters before they kind of come together as a group. I do remember that short.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know it was the exact same base as that short.
I'm pretty sure it is. Pretty sure.
Okay. I didn't know that.
So they successfully steal the transport, but they need a small enough vehicle to get in to Tarkin's destroyers. That's what leads them to, we have a transport, but we need something to kind of be more... I want to say covert.
Undetectable.
Kind of type of situation.
I will say, before we get to that, like, I really like the way that this opening kind of battle between Sabine is. Like, she, like, does a bunch of flips. I didn't count them, but it was pretty cool. And then when the cruiser, is it the Phantom or the Ghost that picks them up? Anyway, when they're picked up, when the transport they're on goes through the smoke, because she blows up a bunch of the TIE fighters with detonators, like, it makes the Phoenix thing, which is, I thought was really cool, symbol of the rebellion. So
I'm just geeking out about that, but yeah, continue. they need another vehicle, and it's revealed, Ezra tells Hera, the tie that Zeb, when I first watched this episode, it ties back to so much that already happened, but when I first watched this episode, I hadn't seen all of the season. So they were calling back on things. I was like, oh, I didn't really get all the pieces. That make sense, I guess. So he goes back to, remember the tie that Zeb and I stole? We hid it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been revealed that Sabine has turned it into her personal next art project, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I looked it up. Apparently, I need to go back and look at this tie, but apparently... The color scheme and then certain symbols that she's painted on this tie are symbolic of the crew.
Oh, really?
So, like, the different colors. I think you see Hera's, her Leku, or what you call them, on there, painted on there. Ezra's jacket symbols on there. Like, I need to, like, go into more depth than I probably should to see, like, what's been painted on this tie.
Of course, Hera is not happy that they... hit it,
right.
Because
the order was to ditch it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
But I love how she's kind of, I think her line is, but right now I'm just thankful we got it.
Like, I'm really angry, but for the mission, we need this. So,
yeah.
And we had this, after this, we had this little scene with her telling the whole crew. I love this scene with Hera because she's always been, I think we talked about this the last episode, she's always been the leader and commander, and I think she refers to Kanan as a soldier, but actually, in this moment, she says, Kanan is family, and we're going to go get him.
It's sort of her accepting, like, because I feel like in the last episode, she was trying to kind of hide her feelings then, because, you know, part of something bigger, part of rebellion, but I think here in the speech that she gives, here in the speech that she gives, it's very clear that this isn't a military thing. This is rescuing a family member that needs our help.
Right.
So meanwhile, while that is happening, I think it goes to the Inquisitor and Kanan. And he's, of course, been interrogating him on trying to get any information. Even though he told Tarkin, he's like, this guy probably doesn't know much about, you know, is it possible that he doesn't know? And of course, Tarkin's like, no, he's got to know something. We got to, you know. That's when we went down the rabbit hole.
Okay, yeah.
Extracting a confession, like, what does that mean? But this is kind of like, more of like him just trying to break him, like, psychologically, I think.
But also, it goes immediately into, I want to know about the other rebels, like Fulcrum.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of them capturing Kanan. They want to know information. I mean,
the fact that they know about Fulcrum, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Why else would they capture you? Unless they want information. They want something from you, if that's the reason you're not dead yet.
Yeah.
And then he actually brings up, how did you survive Order 66, which has not been touched on at all through this entire season.
Yeah.
And we have this great moment, very emotional, very great moment between him and Inquisitor, where he kind of toys with his emotions a little bit, like you were saying.
Yeah.
In that, you know, what was her last words to you? And we actually hear, you know, okay, I think the Inquisitor back in episode 4 mentioned that his master was Depa Balaba.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing we've gotten. We don't know what happened. We obviously know she's dead, obviously.
Yeah.
And we had that moment, like, what is her last final word to you? And it's this very long pause, because, like, almost always, like, what did she say? And all it is run. So, I don't know. It carries a lot of weight in that moment for Kanan.
Well, especially for Kanan, because all this self-doubt he had about himself, this moment makes it make sense.
Yeah.
This is the moment where you're like, oh, that's why he had all the self-doubt of, I don't trust myself in training someone because I ran and he, you know, even the Inquisitor towards the idea that, like, no, you were a coward. Like, he was a kid. He was a child. But obviously carrying that trauma of that happening, you know, your master getting basically shot in the back from people that you thought were your friends, you know, but also, like, having to deal with the fact that it's a little bit of survivor's guilt, which...
Yeah.
I think if a Jedi had survived Order 66, there would be a lot of that. Like, well, why wasn't I killed? Why did I run? You know, all these whys. And I think for Kanan, it's the Inquisitor toying with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I first watched this, I hadn't seen a lot of episodes before that. So I was like, oh. But then you go back and you're like, the episode, I think it's Path of the Jedi, when he says, I won't let him lose his way, not like I did.
Yeah.
And if you want to know more about Kanan, I'm just going to put this plug. If you haven't read The Last Padawan comic by Greg Wiseman, it is so good.
Yeah, it is really good. I think it's, like, right next to you.
Is it really? Shelf.
Do I need to pull it?
No, you're good.
Is it right here? Is this it?
Kanan? Yeah. Yep, it sure is.
Here it is. Da-da-da! Yeah, if you haven't read this, please read it.
But yeah, like you were saying, he... calls him a coward, but then he says, you don't have the courage to wear your saber out in the open. What would you think, what would your crew think if they knew their own leader was a coward? So he's really throwing some jabs here at Kanan.
Some pretty deep cuts here. But yeah, that comic really touches upon about why he doesn't want to accept you are a Jedi. You know, you do have force, well, I don't know if he's a Padawan, I guess, when his master got killed. But you do have Force-sensitive powers, and there's a whole journey of him, like, trying to hide from that, and obviously because you'd be killed if that was, you know, during the time after Order 66.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of jabs at Kanan, and I love, again, not only Jason Isaacs' performance in this scene, but also Freddie Prinze Jr.
To me, they are the two stars in this episode. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. Like, their performances and everybody's great, always great, yeah. Gives their best in these episodes, but especially Freddie in this one. He's a big superstar in my head for this episode. Mm-hmm. We go back to the crew, and they've successfully, actually, before they dock, Ezra, they're asking him to see if Kanan's still alive, is he still there, before they, you know, dock their transport. And he has this moment with Kanan where he's like, they have this connection. So he reaches out through the forest to realize he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
He's still alive.
I will say something that I did write down is they take the painted tie that Sabine painted to use to try and infiltrate the ship on, not on Mustafar, but kind of in orbit around Mustafar. And I find it so hilarious that, again, going back to the whole number thing with the Imperials, like, they only need to scan it.
Right.
So I'm like, you're telling me you don't look at the ships that you're scanning? You know. Mm-hmm. That's why I think they said when they scan it, we'll be allowed in.
Mm-hmm.
But when they see it, we'll already be there. Like,
right.
So I thought that's kind of funny, like, picking at the Imperials for, like...
And I think Hera says that. They're only going to scan the tie. They're not going to even...
You know, I don't know if there's a window you can look out on this ship, but...
They'll look like it, you know, from far away, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, they have the... when they land the tie in the docking bay, Sabine has these explosive kind of things that... They don't blow up, but they short-circuit a lot of...
I think that's like an electronic... Electric pulse
EMP kind of thing.
Yeah.
That kind of, like, I don't know if it, like, makes the stormtroopers faint or just messes with their equipment, maybe their communication or something like that. So it has that pulse that they can, cuts the power to the ship as well.
Yeah.
And then they, have Ezra cutting the circle with his lightsaber to
get in,
to get into the transport. The side that Kanan's on, I guess Ezra's tracking him through the forest. I believe so.
Of course they get there and they've knocked out some of the troopers, but I mean it's not like they're dead, they're gonna wake up eventually. I love the moment where I can't remember what the piece of dialogue, but it's like, well, eventually they're gonna wake up and they're gonna find us. Well, how long will that take? And then all of a sudden they run right into some more. And then Ezra's like, well, they found us. I'm like, well, that didn't take long. Mm-hmm. You know, as normally with Star Wars and stormtroopers. They're everywhere at this
point. Everywhere.
I think they're chased down a hallway, and then Ezra cuts the blast door closes, and he puts his lightsaber in it to stop them. Mm-hmm. Which, to me, that moment was, he learned it from Kanan. And call to action when he stopped the lift.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
And then I think, like you said, he's tracking Kanan because he says, Ezra says, Kanan's down that hallway. So I think he's kind of having this...
Reaching out through the forest.
Yeah.
Connecting with him. Yeah. And even, I love that moment after that when he's like, that was our only way to get to him. And the Hera's like, it may be our way, but not your way. And he looks up and he's like, oh yeah, he's going to crawl through the ventilation shaft to try and get to him.
Which is kind of also called, there's so many callbacks in this episode that calls back to so much that has already happened. That calls back to, I mean, we've seen Ezra crawl through vents a lot in this season.
Crawl through vents and unlock doors.
Yeah, right. That's your purpose in the Lego game.
Yeah, we always talk about that in the Lego games. I also like the callback when Ezra does finally get to Kanan's cell. And Kanan's like, we shouldn't have come here, you know, to rescue me. He's like, you would have done the same for me. In fact, you have. Calls back way back to the first episode of Rebels when Kanan had the deciding vote
to go rescue
Ezra.
Ezra, yeah.
Yeah, and then they go into I believe it's an engine room where they're greeted by the Inquisitor, which I always wonder, like, where did he go?
Well, he's with Kanan, and then when they show up, he says they're here, so predictable. So I don't know if he went to go stop them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then Tarkin ordered reinforcements, which is why he had to come.
That's probably why he left.
Okay.
That's why he left Kanan alone, because Tarkin's the head guy in charge, so. You know when they meet the Inquisitor in this... it might be just because I knew it was the finale, but you knew this is it, but for this guy.
Yeah.
At least I did. I'm like, this is the last, going to be the last little... Now, did I know what was going to happen to him? No, but I knew, you could just tell from the music, the way it was lit, the way, as soon as they see that man and he takes his lightsaber down, I'm like, okay, this is going to be the last time we see this guy.
I had callbacks to Phantom Menace.
Yes.
With all the ledges that are always helpful in the engine rooms of places. Between, specifically the fight between Maul, Obi-Wan, and Qui-Gon. So I was very nervous when they confronted him. I didn't know what was going to happen.
I, at this point, hadn't seen Phantom Menace. So I didn't get to make the connection. Until we rewatched it, I'm like, wow, even the music has a similar sound to Duel of the Fates.
By the way, I love Kevin Kiner's score. Oh my gosh. In this one scene.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really, really good. So Kanan actually borrows Ezra's lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Inquisitor's got Kanan's, I believe, on his belt loop or something. And then I love the line that Jason Isaacs delivers, finally a fight worthy of my time. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, I get two. Like,
two for the price of one. But you know, going into this, Ezra's not ready for this moment.
Right.
He's not done a lot of lightsaber training.
For combat, specifically, yeah. So while Kanan is using Ezra's lightsaber to fight, he grabs, through the Force, Kanan's lightsaber off the Inquisitor's belt. Yeah, the music's really cool. Let me see. This is a long fight.
It's a good fight, though.
It's good. It's good. but trying to go back in my head to figure out who hits who and, you know, all of that.
Oh, we don't need all that. We just know that this is a big moment for... Because this guy has been the big bad through the entire season. It's a big moment for Kanan and Ezra. More specifically, I feel, though, it's Kanan.
Yeah.
Of course, as I said, Ezra was not prepared. We see that when he falls off the ledge.
Yeah, Kanan gets knocked backward, and then he does a force push on Ezra to knock him?
He knocks Ezra back, and then he throws the saber.
The lightsaber that's spinning, the spinning lightsaber, and knocks him off.
Mm-hmm.
On a ledge. But Kanan doesn't know there's a ledge. Mm-mm. Even if there's a ledge.
Well, he looks down, so I don't, maybe...
Yeah, maybe he thought the impact killed
him, maybe. Possibly. He wasn't moving.
Yeah. Put the music there when he, like, looks down and looks back up, that little sting. And you just see the Inquisitor smiling, and you hear this, like, I guess it's an oboe or a bassoon. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, kind of, he's, like, smiling. Like, that's so creepy.
Yeah, and then you have Kanan, this look of grief and sadness. And then it just morphs into, I don't want to say anger, because that's dark side, but there's anger there. Let's be honest.
Well, he says that was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That leads me to think that there's maybe a little bit of, I want to get this guy now.
But also there's a little bit of, it's calling back to, like you said, Phantom Menace. He wasn't fully, I mean, he was fully fighting him, but he was very concerned about Ezra.
Yeah.
Now that he's, what Kanan thinks, he's gone, I'm not holding back anything.
Yeah, I love the line when he says, that was a mistake. And then the Inquisitor says, why? Because you have no one else to die for you? Like, again, hinting at, this guy's a coward. You've been hiding behind people.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kanan's line is, no, because I have nothing left to fear. Like, I couldn't be a Jedi. I would be scared crapless, like,
well,
all
and,
the time.
And that's the thing is, you know, I don't want to say anger because that's dark side. Fear is also dark side. When you let go of fear... there's nothing holding you back from anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine? You're not afraid of anything.
I can't imagine that because I have anxiety.
I do too, so I can't imagine that. But just think of the freedom and relief and release of emotion that is. When I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of you. This is how it's going to go down.
Not afraid of losing Ezra.
And then I love after that moment, he says, I have nothing left to fear. There's a moment where they look at each other and then they do the... Like, he holds his lightsaber and Kanan holds his lightsaber. It's like, it's almost like they're still in decorum.
Yeah.
Here.
But also, it's like, he has nothing left to lose either.
No.
And again, for Kanan, it's, for me, it was like fully embracing the Force and something that he, I don't think, has done. You know, this is sort of him confronting that self-doubt of, and becoming the Jedi that we start to see the Jedi that he can be.
Because this whole season he's doubted himself, he's doubted his abilities, he's doubted the fact that he even can train someone. This is the moment where we definitely see a huge shift in Kanan's character, I think. This is going to follow, I believe. This is the turning point for him for the next season, and then the next season, and then the next season.
So in the meantime, while that's going on, we've got the ghost crew still running from these stormtroopers. Again, Sabine uses a smoke bomb. The stormtroopers still look at it. Like, they don't try to run.
What is that?
Like, you think by now, you know, if someone throws something at you, you scatter or something, not look at it. But anyway, she throws a smoke bomb. And then you got Hera trying to contact Ezra over the comm link. Of course, he's knocked out. Yeah, so Ezra has a scar now. He wakes up and he's like, yeah, I'm good. You know, he's kind of out of it. And he looks up and Hera's like, well, how's Kanan? He's like, actually, he's okay, but he's better than okay. Like, he's never even seen him be this confident in fighting and using the little gun at the same time he's using the lightsaber part of the lightsaber, which is really cool. But
yeah, because every time we've seen the Inquisitor and Kanan fight, it's always been, it doesn't go well for Kanan.
So we've got him backing the Inquisitor into a corner, essentially, after they kind of do a little dance around the little console in the middle. I always thought that part was cool. You have Kanan, who hits it, jumps in the air, and then goes backwards and fires. Always like that part.
It's definitely like a dance.
Yeah.
Not a sissy dance, but... Kanan has this moment where he says, you're right, I was a coward. Not denying that, I was. But now I know there's something stronger than fear, the Force. So this is like, oh, crap. Yeah. Things aren't looking too good for Inky here. Inky?
Yeah, the quote is, now I know there's something stronger than fear, far stronger than Force. Let me show you how strong it is. So the Inquisitor, like, shields up, you know, the thing starts spinning.
He goes back to his, what he's done this whole time.
Yeah.
You know.
And then Kanan sticks the lightsaber, the two lightsabers that he has, his and Ezra's, and slices the lightsaber.
And he falls backwards, is hanging onto the ledge. I think the lightsabers fall
into the part of the engine. The
engine explodes. And one thing I love about Ken Burns' writing is, I think he said this before, he always, if you're doing a show where there's a huge cast, you don't stay with people very long because you want to know what they're doing and what they're doing and what they're doing. So I love this moment after it explodes the ship. We have this brief moment where it cuts to Hera, Zeb, and Sabine, and they're running, and they kind of stumble. They don't know what's happened.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's like, oh, they're affected by it too.
So then we got, you know, he's hanging off the ledge now. The Inquisitor is. Yes. And he says,
finally.
You've unleashed something today.
You have no idea what you've unleashed here today.
Yeah.
Some things are more frightening than death. And as an audience member, when I first watched this, I had no idea what he was talking about. I'm not going to lie. I had no idea.
So can you fill us in what he was talking about?
Who shows up at the end of this episode?
Oh, okay.
If he had failed,
dang.
I wonder what the consequences would have been.
So, like, choosing to die is better than the alternative. You also don't see, let me just say this, you don't see Kanan trying to help him up.
No, he's shocked when he lets go and falls. Like, oh. Okay, that was poetic, and okay, I don't really care. You know, it's not like, I feel like a lot of people are like, well, he should have helped him out because he's a Jedi. I'm like, I mean...
No, I haven't even seen people say, no, he tried to help him. Like, no. That's not what happened.
But he's shocked that he let go.
Yeah.
But, no, he wasn't about to help him up. He actually put the sabers to his neck, like, no, you've lost.
Yeah, but then he put him up.
Oh, yeah, he did, yeah.
So maybe he was given an alternative to help him up, but he was not about to do it. He was not about to lend a hand and help him up.
So Inky's gone now.
Yep.
Rest in peace, RIP.
Jason Isaacs, RIP. I wonder how Jason felt about that. I'm sure he was sad, because he loves Star Wars.
And then we had this moment where Ezra's back up on the ledge, and he's calling for Kanan. And it gets me every time, man, when... he's like, Kanan, trying to get his attention. I feel like Kanan has this moment because he still thinks Ezra is dead. So it's almost like, I'm hearing things.
Yeah, kind of see that in the animation.
And then when he turns around, he's like, I thought I lost you. Mm-hmm. And then Ezra's response is, I know the feeling.
Yeah. Really, really close bond between the two characters. And by the way, there's always a ledge. You always gotta be hopeful there's gonna be a ledge.
Yeah, to save you.
To save you. So in the meantime, you've got the ghost crews now in a tie. They picked up another tie and they're fleeing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Ezra tells her, like, go ahead and go without me. Like, you know, I'll be fine. She's like, we're not leaving without you. And then Kanan comes on the call. It's like, I'll take care of him. Like, they're, like, so happy. Like to see the shift in the animation of them smiling in the tie. Like,
yeah.
Yay, we got our friend back.
We did it. Gold stars for everyone.
And then you have the whole dark side Ezra moment.
The Inquisitor's tie.
Well, we know he's not going to use it.
You know what, kid? You worry me sometimes. I have this episode memorized for anybody that doesn't know.
Yeah. They think at this point Chopper is still, I guess, on the fiend? The ghost?
On the ghost, yeah.
And I think Hera probably gave him a, to pick up a transport.
She tells him, be ready to pick us up, basically. Yeah. And actually, between all this, between the lightsaber battle, between the ghost crew, there's a moment where Chopper calls Fulcrum. So, yeah, she thinks that Chopper's still with the ghost, and he's gonna, you know, do his job, essentially. And then she says Chopper's not answering, because they need Chopper to pick up the ties.
Yeah, there's a bunch of ties. This is like a, well, it's Tarkin's ship.
Right.
So it's gotta be defended by a bunch of ties. It looks grim for the ghost crew, because
it's a lot of ties.
There's two ties now. Ezra and Kanan are one, Sabine, Hera, and Zeb are in another. And
in the painted one.
In the paint, yeah, the one with the bullseye on it, I think is what Zeb calls it.
So good job, Hera, outmaneuvering that.
Yeah, all of that. And then we get the transport, the ghost, and a fleet of other craft that come out of hyperspace.
Mm-hmm.
And Hera knows who they are, because she says everyone dock with that transport. Kanan's like, I don't know who they are, but I guess they're on our side. You know, he's still in the dark about the whole kind of rebellion, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
Now, question, did you know this was the rebellion at this when you first saw this?
I did, because the ships looked like the ones in A New Hope. So I kind of knew it was probably the larger rebellion.
So they dock with the transport, and they arrive on the ghost. And I love this moment. I think this is the moment where I knew, okay, this is definitely the rebellion. And then Bail Organa appears as a hologram. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, this is actually,
yeah, because
their huge rebellion.
We saw Bail before when Kanan, I think it's George in Distress, returns
right
to your VO and R2 to him, and he doesn't know who he is. And he brings that up, mm-hmm. which again, a lot of these episodes tie into each other. Even if they seem insignificant, I think, feel like the good thing about season one is everything seems to be very tied together in a way. I don't see a whole lot of filler in season one. Mm-mm. We call filler when it's not connected to the overall plot.
Well, even Fight or Flight, people said that was filler. No, they used a tie in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't watch it like we did, and we were like, where'd this tie come from?
Right.
You know, you kind of need that information. But yeah, I kind of knew, and then it was only confirmed when once Bail Organa showed up. I was like, oh, okay, this is the larger rebellion that Hera's been alluding to. But the secrecy and stuff.
Yeah, and Hera has that moment where, sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, she says, his name is Senator Bail Organa. And the protocol was none of us were supposed to meet.
Because mm-hmm.
that way, if captured, we couldn't reveal anything to the enemy. Which, that was true when Kanan didn't know anything, you know. And then we hear a voice say, the protocol has changed. And as she's descending the steps, anybody that's a Clone Wars fan is probably freaking out at this point. They know who this woman is. And she says, Fulcrum. Because that's kind of the first declaration. Okay, Ahsoka is Fulcrum, but she doesn't call her Ahsoka. She calls her Fulcrum. And then she says what her name is and everything. And what is it that Kanan asks her? Or does Ezra ask her? Sorry, I'm
what happens now?
Is that what no, it's before that. What are you doing here? I guess, why did you reveal yourself, I guess, is what he was saying. And then she says, because of you and your apprentice. And then she actually reveals systems heard your message.
Yeah, so call to action, is that the name?
Yeah, so this is the first reveal we get that people heard it. And not just one planet, one system. A few systems have heard your message. And they were hopeful, and we didn't want that hope to die. So that's basically why, I guess, they went in to rescue them, I guess?
Well, she also, and this is something, a question I have, is did she let the rebellion know there is a Jedi and a Padawan, they're in trouble? Because she tells Hera that was the whole reason she told him not to go rescue him.
Right.
Because Ezra, what Ezra and Kanan represents is hope for, I don't want to say the good old days, but, you know, Jedi have a symbol, you know, for protection and hope of the Old Republic that is now fallen. So I do wonder what was her case, you know, to bring to these other systems, these other cells. Like,
yeah, I wonder that too.
What did she tell them?
So Ahsoka is Fulcrum.
Whoa, what? So many people had this already figured out when they were watching it. I was not that in depth to go and take the voice thing and put it through a modulator. Like, some people did that.
I didn't even know who Fulcrum was at this point. Like I said, I watched this whole first season out of order and still didn't know all of the pieces. But the only thing I knew about Ahsoka was, forgive me, I've not seen Clone Wars. But she was in Clone Wars.
We just heard a bunch of nerds cry out in anguish.
I have not seen Clone Wars. No, I have not. But I knew her. I mean, she's a very popular character. I caught a few Clone Wars episodes when I was a kid, but not enough to know anything. But yeah, I don't think I knew how much love she had for the character until after the season finale ended, because that's when I started going online and stuff. People were like, I already had it figured out. All these comments were like, I already knew it was her. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of work.
I don't want to say this very mean, but I didn't need to know who Fulcrum was. Like, I mean, it's great we know who it is. It's Ahsoka Tano from, you know, Clone Wars. But I wasn't that delved deep to go go do that, you know. I was like, okay, this is a person that get intel from.
Yeah,
doesn't matter who they are at this point. You know, to me it didn't, but, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know they were going to reveal it. Yeah. I just thought, like, okay, well, this is just somebody in the Rebellion. You know, I didn't really care to find out who it was. So I'm just like, I'm just going to go with it.
Whoever it is, like, we'll figure it out, you know. But, you know, she has this whole mystical line about, this is a new day, a new chapter, a new beginning for all of you guys, and, yeah.
And the last shot we have of the Ghost Crew, them all standing there, smiling and happy, and, and then we cut to, back to Tarkin. He just lost, again.
He did evacuate his ship, though. And he should have taken that lesson in New Hope, just saying, but... Anyway.
We have to evacuate for your safety. Leave now in our moment of triumph.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do that. He safely escaped from the Star Cruiser.
Right. And I think he's in Lothal because the ship lands and the thing opens and you see Kallus.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, there's been whispers that people see the Empire as weak, vulnerable. And he says, not to worry, Agent Kallus. The Emperor has sent someone, I can't remember the exact line, to deal with it. I'm paraphrasing, that's not an exact quote. but that's when I'm like, wait, the Emperor? That's huge. He cares about this little bitty planet, you know? Oh, maybe not the planet. Well, maybe. We'll get to that in future seasons. Did you know it was going to be Vader here at the end? I did.
I didn't. I don't know why I didn't.
Did. They advertised it. like in the commercials, they would have little Vader. I'm like, he's in here somewhere.
Did they?
So the whole episode, I was like, where's he at?
I thought that was like a closely guarded secret kind of thing until the end. Was he in the trailer for this?
Very quickly. Like, remember the Who Will Fall trailer, and then at the very end, it's this little quick snippet of Vader. Very quickly.
Oh, I must have not caught it, because I was like, you only hear him. And anyone that knows Star Wars, you hear that breathing, and you know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still geeking out about it, sorry. yeah, so I was scared at this point. But also, like, what were some of your predictions once you saw this for season two? Can you go back that far in your head?
I knew it was going to be, I think I said this to you when we were rewatching this episode, the game has changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I told you. I think that's what I thought. I was like, okay, going into two, I don't know if they're going to survive, to be honest. I don't know, yeah. You know.
Well, I also knew, like, people that have, Vader is so special in Star Wars that my fear was, in season two, you can't have them go up against him every single episode.
Well, yeah, they don't.
They would die, you know.
Right.
So that was sort of my concern is, like, is he going to be, like, in every episode? Because I feel like Vader is so special. Like, he needs to appear maybe sporadically, but not constantly.
Yeah.
But also, I was thinking maybe he would be sending more Inquisitors. Maybe that was kind of my prediction. Because in the ABC airing, they had that little snippet about that he was in the beginning about the children of the Force and hunting mm-hmm. them down. And but the fact that he was there, it was kind of like, oh, like, I don't know where this is headed. But at that point, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like it or not. But, you know.
I knew the stakes had been raised.
Yeah.
Definitely mm-hmm. had been raised. This is no longer... I knew it was going to be... I knew what the Ghost Crew was about to head into was going to be very difficult and challenging and nothing like season one. And it wasn't. the game changed at this moment, I think, for this season. But I feel like at the end of every season, which I think the crew of this show was really good about doing, was you left at the end of every season with a different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to know that it's not going to be easy for them. And
right.
That what makes them so compelling as characters and as people is, if everything was easy, the show wouldn't be interesting.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was really excited to see not only Vader, but I was kind of like worried about Vader. Like, you know, they can't go up against him all the time.
Yeah, I was worried too. I was like, wow, you've introduced the main player to the, mm-hmm. to like kind of like the starting quarterback. What's going to happen? You know, I feel like it was introduced too early, you know. But I think it was good.
Yeah, I think later my fears were kind of alleviated, but that was my concern. But I was really excited to also know that if they are part of the bigger rebellion, you know, what other players are going to come into play from, you know, A New Hope and, like, is Bail going to work with them? You know, what's going to happen now that they're outed as this cell of, you know, and joining other cells. So.
What would you rate this episode?
10. 10 Lockettes.
10.
Because that's as high as we can go.
If we could go higher, it would be so massive for me.
Because I just love how it ties most of the things together from the other episodes.
It's like a big bow on top.
Mm-hmm. And so, Simon, your writing, so good. Just gonna...
just bow to him.
And just, like, hats off to the animation crew, all of that. Kevin Kiner's score. The acting,
writing, Henry Gilroy, who's some more writers? Henry Gilroy's coming to mind. Greg Wiseman. There's only two that's coming to my head. I know there's more. Charles Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, pulled that out of there. so good. I think this was, for anybody, you know, when this show first came out, it was not liked by the internet.
No.
But I think that's true with anything Star Wars. You have people that really, really hate it. You have people that really, really like it.
Well,
there's no in between, you know.
What compacted that conversation, not compacted it, but made it worse, was this was the first animation that came out after Lucas sold it to Disney.
Yeah. And I think Dave Filoni mentioned, he said, people were worried. They thought, oh, they're going to Disney it up. They're not going to... This was, you know, this season proved... No, they're still good at their job. You know, they're still writing very good, compelling Star Wars stories. And to take characters that are new mm-hmm. was probably challenging in itself. How can you make a character new? This is the first time, if you really think about it, this is the first time, not even counting the Rey Skywalker, who's a new character, not even counting that. This was literally the first time they introduced... Not first time, because I had Legends.
Comics, books, yeah.
After the Disney acquisition where new characters.
Mm-hmm. And make you care about them.
And make them feel like...
Because there are some Star Wars fans out there who, if it's not Luke, if it's not Leia, if it's not Han, if it's not Anakin, if it's not Ahsoka, I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that was probably what had a lot of people bagging on it, too. But the writing was so compelling that it made you care, which...
They felt like you could watch... I think I can't remember who said this in the crew of the Rebels Recon episode. If you could put these characters in the new... Especially in the New Hope trilogy, and make them... They feel like they fit. They don't feel like they're out of place or anything. They feel like they live in that world.
Mm-hmm.
So hats off to everybody for that challenge.
Mm-hmm. But yeah... Show gets a lot of hate still today, and it's not, in my eyes, it doesn't get the credit that it's due.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you know, that people have their reasons.
But now I've noticed there's love there. There is love. There's a, I feel like sometimes people that are angry scream the loudest, and they get the most tweets, and they get the most clicks on their articles and their headlines they want to put. And... You know, there are some things in Star Wars I don't like, but I'm not going to be, you know,
a troll
and threaten people. And that's just, there's other ways you can take something you love. Instead of bagging on something you hate, take the passion for something you love and turn it into something like this.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to, you know, love is so much stronger than hate.
Yeah.
Passion for something and turn it into something good instead mm-hmm. of... being a troll. I'm off my soapbox now.
Mic drop. That's it. but yeah. Rebels, I love it. This has been so much fun. We're going to have more fun. Yeah, this is such a great episode.
I'm sad this season's over, man.
Yeah. Season one is coming to a close for Rebels. At least on this podcast. So excited to do some season two stuff. And yeah. Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm good. I did my mic drop. I'm good.
All right, everybody. You can find Rebels Remembered on Twitter. We're on Spotify, on YouTube. And anything else?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you in the next one, guys.
Bye.